So often it speaks to us too as adults in that message. It's good to hear. I'm going to have you turn with me this morning in your pew Bible, or if you brought your own Bible with you as well, I'm going to encourage you to do that. So we're going to look at a handful of different passages this morning. And the message is the work of the Holy Spirit in creation. Now I'm going to be honest with you this week. As I came in, you know, I come to the office on Tuesdays. That's my big sermon day. And I started reading some of this, the biblical passages I was going to use, and started looking at some of the text and stuff behind it, and what some of the, I had some different authors on some books that I'm reading with the Holy Spirit, and what they were saying and what I had learned. I'm going to be real honest with you. I have never heard before, ever. And I was like, nope, this can't be. This is off. I need more biblical support to back this up. I don't understand this. I'd never heard this before. And it bothered me at first, and I prayed about it, and God led me to Genesis 2:7 and to Job 33:4, and also to the book of Luke, which we're going to tie all together today. And you're going to see, how did the Spirit work in creation? Because I've never seen this viewpoint before, but it makes total sense once I studied it and I understood it and where it was going. And I think you're going to find that this morning as well. You're going to see how important the Spirit is as part of the Trinity in creation and how you and I live life every day. So let's begin with the reading of the Word, and then we'll sing right after that. And notice I'm using the same verse as last week, but I'm going to focus on verse 2 and 3 this morning. And so we learned about Elohim, right? Plural. The Trinity was there. And then we're going to jump big into verse 2 today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then we know God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he spoke things into existence, and we have the creation story twice, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And then if you turn with me to the book of Job, you'll find the book of Job just before the book of Psalms, about page 825 or so. And we're going to read verse 4. Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. And then we're going to go back to the book of Luke. Now, if you know your Bible well, you'll know that what is the first chapter in the book of Luke? What are you familiar with? And when do we most commonly read that chapter? Christmas time. Yeah, exactly. Now look at this verse here. This is going to tie in. This will be towards the end of my message this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered, and of course he's speaking to Mary here. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And so notice what the key phrase we're going to look at here this morning is, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The work of the Spirit as well. And so let's quit there. I'm going to give you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have read from your scripture and we sing the song of the Spirit, Lord, we come to you as the triune God this morning. We pray for a blessing on this word. Lord, may your Spirit move about us. May you teach us a new way, Lord, and something that we maybe never heard before. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will just fill us. Lord, may these words be yours and never mine. And Lord, may they be rooted well in Scripture. Lord, I also pray for those that have gathered here in your church and those that are online today, that you fill them with that same Spirit to give them understanding, Lord, for your message today for our lives. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a story for you this morning. There are some scientists who approached God, and they said, listen, Lord, we don't think we need you anymore. And God the Father said, well, okay, I'll hear you out. And they said, you know, We can clone all kinds of animals today. We think we can clone human beings. We can do all kinds of transplants from hearts and livers and kidneys. We're doing miraculous things that we couldn't do maybe even 50 years ago. And so we don't see much use to you anymore, Lord. And so these scientists said, you know, they accepted that. And God said, well, let's have a man-making contest. And they said, yeah, we can do that. And so we feel that we can create that. And the scientists bent over to grab a handful of dirt. And God said, whoa, get your own dirt. Right? Because that's where it all starts. So let me share some things with you that I found quite interesting this morning in this passage as we get into things. So I want you to think about in the book of Genesis, we read verses 1 and 2. And here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. All right? Now they open God's revelation to man. They tell us how our universe was created. Did you know that all the other religions of the world, they do not come up with a creation story. They assume that the earth has always been there. They don't have an answer for that. They don't know how it got there, but they're based off of that the earth has always been there. Only will you find in Christianity the story of creation about how the world came into existence, and I think that is huge. How about you guys? I mean, that's where it all started. We get the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2. You can read that when you go home today of what that was about. He spoke it into existence in 7 days. God created. You know, and we see that. And here's a verse that you can keep. Maybe it's on your outline. Psalm 33, verse 6. It's on the bottom of your screen as well. And then also verse 9. It said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, for he spoke and it was done. He created. You know, we know there's a lot more depth to that. But Scripture attributes the creation to each of the three persons of the Trinity. And I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, for example. We read that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovered over the waters at the moment of creation, pointing to his intimate involvement in the seven-day process of making the earth and everything that's in it. I want you to think about that this morning. If you were to turn to the book of John 1, verses 1 through 3, we see that in the beginning, John talks about the Logos, the Word of God was in the beginning, that Jesus Christ was also present with the Spirit and with God the Father Almighty in creation. That backs that all up, puts that together. We see this perfect picture of the Trinity before us. In particular, most of us, you and I grew up that way, you probably grew up that way. Our assumption, and most of that is true, that the Almighty Father is mostly the creator of a lot of things that you and I are part of today. And so we're going to kind of dissect that a little bit. We're going to look at how does the Trinity fit into this in creation, what's going on in the world that you and I live in today. Ephesians 3 verse 9 says this, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, and it's talking about the mystery of creation, of how did the world get here, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Right? Now we can look at that as God being the Trinity, or we can look at that and say, okay, it's Almighty, the God, the Almighty Father that created all things. But here's what I want you to think about this morning. The work of creation may reveal the Father in particular, but in some ways and in some things, all three parts of the Trinity are involved in creation. And so now I bring the question to you this morning of this. What role did the Holy Spirit play in creation? And this is what I found fascinating this past week as I studied this. And we looked at Genesis chapter 1 here. God created something out of nothing, right? He just didn't go to the store and buy some dirt and put it together. He spoke it, and dirt was there. Water was there. Creation was there. There was some kind of a material mass that we call earth today that God, through Jesus Christ, the spoken word, came about. Are you with me so far? Right? It's pretty easy to get to that point. We understand that. And let me even go a little bit further with you this morning, and I'm going to use some Hebrew stuff here. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. In the Genesis 1, verse 1, the word created in the Hebrew, bara is the word that's used, called into existence or caused to exist. And let me just read verse 2 to you. Now, I want you to listen closely. I want you to close your eyes this morning and picture this, okay? Let me read verse 2 to you. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Do you picture that in your mind? Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right now, open your eyes. Do you get that picture of what may be going on in your mind? All right? Now, how many of you have a picture that the earth at this point is already round? The seas are there, the pictures of the continents are already there, and so on. All right? Now, why do you think that? Because Scripture just told you that it was what? It was formless. You ever thought about that? That caught me totally off guard this past week. What do you mean that it was formless? It didn't have a shape to it? Things weren't put together the way that you and I think that the earth was created, what we see today in pictures, what we studied in school? I'm not quite understanding that. And that's the point that I thought, what does that mean? I don't get that. What does formless look like? And to be honest with you, I can't answer that because the Bible does not give us an answer to that question. What does formless look like when it says that in Genesis 1 verse 1? But now I want you to go with me to another word, the word hover. And I think I got a slide for you on that as well. What does the word hover mean? Right? The first work of the Holy Spirit in creation was his act of hovering, or moving across the waters of this formless, whatever it is that God had created and put into existence. In the second half of that, of verse 2, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Now, the word translated as hovering in Hebrew is called rakaf. All right? And now here's what it means. It's a gentle hovering, right? It's like the bird in a nest puts its wings and its body over the eggs to keep it warm as to produce something, right? It's gentle. It's to love its young. It's to heat its eggs. You get that? Do you get that picture in your mind of what's going on here? How many of you seen the robins? They're back this week. Anybody seen the robins yet? They're here. Yeah, they're here. They're back. All right? Now, of course, we know that what wise tells that it's supposed to snow three times before. So last night was the first time, hopefully, and we're on to maybe two more, and we're into spring. All right? But I want you to think about that bird hovering over the nest, caring for its young, nurturing its young, providing enough heat to hatch the young out of that egg. That's what the word hovering means. And here's what I want you to get today. Therefore, the Spirit's role in creation was to make order out of the formless. Are you with me? We have this formless creation that God the Father Almighty put into existence. God spoke it. And here's the key. The Spirit brought it life. That's the point that I want to bring to you today. Let me get you to understand that just a little bit more so you have a better understanding of that. Think of it this way. The Father planned the work of creation. The Son did the work. He called it into existence, and here it is. And the Spirit energized it. The Spirit gave it life. And so the Spirit's first work was involved in the created world and the things in it. He brought the life to what we see today. The plants, the animals, to you and I. And we'll get into that more in just a little bit. Do you see what I'm getting at here now? I mean, there's some things in here that I've never heard before about creation and what that looked like and how the Trinity was so deeply involved in that process. The Spirit hovered. The Spirit took the formless. And even in the Hebrew, this says the Spirit took the chaotic. and gave it life, gave it form, gave it shape, gave it life. All right? Now let's look at the second thing about creation here. Life is a second work of the Holy Spirit in material creation. Now, notice I didn't say that the Spirit created man. That's God's work, the Almighty, all right? And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. Genesis 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." Now, the word used when God breathes into man's nostrils is not rauch, which means the Holy Spirit. It's called shaman, which means normal breath. And I thought it was quite interesting that God breathed through his nostrils to give him life. Why couldn't he just speak that into existence? Man, get up and walk, get up and breathe. No, in the Bible it says that he actually breathed into the man the breath of life. And he got up and he walked. So why specify the breath of life? What's so different about this breath? Is one of my questions that we're wondering about this morning. How many of you experienced people with bad breath? Anybody? Yeah, come on now, don't leave me hanging out here, right? Well, you maybe have had bad breath, and maybe your spouse has had bad breath, or somebody you know is like, whew, you needed more than a mint maybe, right? But here's the point. What's so important about breath that the Scripture talks about? The breath of life. And here's where I think this is going. It seems that the breath of life could refer to the Holy Spirit in a general sense. What I'm trying to say to you is that the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, gives life to all things that have been created on this earth. And now let's look at Job 33, verse 4. This is what Job says. "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Now, you get that, right? Now, here's what I want you to think about. Now, what I'm not saying is that the Holy Spirit did not create Adam, because that's God's work, the Almighty. And God breathed into him the life that he needed to live and to survive, but it is the Holy Spirit, by his work, that sustains life. Everybody take a deep breath this morning. The Spirit's the giver of life in creation. It says that the Holy Spirit made man alive. And here's what I think. Not only did he make man physically alive, but he also has a capability to make man spiritually alive. That's why you're sitting here this morning. We're all physically alive. And now the question is, are we all spiritually alive through the Spirit in Jesus Christ? And so here's the point I want to make to you. Whether the breath of life that God breathed into man was the Spirit or not does not change the fact that the Spirit is the giver of life eternal for you and I. He does this awesome work within our lives when we sin and we have issues and everything. He brings us closer to Jesus Christ, and he molds us to that cross so you and I become believers in Jesus Christ, and that's where we meet the forgiveness of sins. It's the work of the Spirit in our lives. He can bring eternity to the soul. Now let me bring up another verse here this morning, Luke 1 verse 35. So Scripture describes a similar hovering of the Holy Spirit, of one of the greatest miracles that we sometimes, how did this happen, right? Children might ask, well, who's the Father? And we think Joseph, but no, right? The Spirit hovered over Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So just as God worked through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring life into this dark and formless world at creation, he now offers us eternal life to any who repent and believe through the Spirit and the name of Jesus Christ. And may I remind you that it always points to the cross. It always points to the work of Jesus Christ, of him going to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It's his blood that was shed that you and I can have that eternal life that the Holy Spirit gives. And we know that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. But the Spirit brings the believer to that point in life. I have another verse for you this morning. It's not on the screen. Galatians 3, verse 14. If you want to jot it down, I'm just going to read it to you. Listen to this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit that you and I have and lives in us today. The Father created us, Jesus saved us, and the Spirit sustains us in our Christian walk. That's truly what it's all about. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. It's still such a mystery, creation, how you could just speak and there was things that were there. How stuff was put together is still such a mystery yet. Not even scientists can figure it out. Lord, but we trust and we have a word that we have in our vocabulary that brings us all about, and it's faith. Lord, that you are the creator. Lord, your son who died on the cross, and it's the Spirit who gives us life. And Lord, so we thank you for your message today. May it resonate with us. May we have a different outlook maybe in how the Spirit works in our world and in our lives today. Lord, continue to teach us and guide us by that same Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite my elders to come forward this morning as we move into communion. How many of you read your devotional this morning, Words of Hope? Anybody do that yet this morning? All right, good. I did. I got a verse I want to share with you this morning that ties in so well with what we heard today and then also communion. And so we come together. Now, last week we did the self-examination. We prayed for the forgiveness of our sins. And I said, go home. And we went through Ash Wednesday this week and, you know, look at how we're living life, right? Where do we need to make changes? And here's what I want you to hear this morning. Here's the promise. This comes from Isaiah 1, verse 18. And they're gracious words to you and I. They're a promise to you and I. If you look at the book of Isaiah, it condemns. But here we have grace and we have love. This I want to share with you today. Though your sins are like scarlet, right? Messy, dirty, bleeding. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Clean. That's what the table of the Lord offers when we come for communion. I don't care how dirty you are today. I don't care what kind of sin you committed today. This is what Isaiah says to us. Though your sins are messy, you're as white as can be when you come to the table of God. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ, all because of the blood. So when we approach the table this morning, I want you to think of that in your own life. It's nothing that you can do. It's all the work of Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. That's gone. That's the promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your table today, we are reminded of the words of Isaiah here today. Lord, your goodness comes over us. Lord, we come to the table. We know that we're not worthy, but you made us worthy through Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to the table knowing that, Lord, we've fallen short so bad. Lord, we've done things that, Lord, that we don't even dare speak. Lord, we thought things, Lord, that are just terrible. And yet, Lord, you say, you just come and I'll wash you white as snow. Lord, and so our hearts, may they be there in that place today. That we ask God for forgiveness as we receive this meal of blessing and grace today. So may you bless us today through this meal. In Jesus I pray, amen. If you're at home with us this morning, I'm going to invite you to prepare your elements and to get ready for that. And also, I want to also extend an invitation this morning. If you are a guest with us today,